Good morning. Am I on? I'm on. Great. It's good to be here in God's house, isn't it? Yeah. And do you know, loads of our elders are away. Do you notice? Me and Michael are the last two. The remnant. So we're gonna pray for some of the leaders, yeah? And strange start to a meeting, really. I've had two scriptures going through my head to preach on, and I still don't know what I'm going to do. So you can listen to me, you can pray for me. That would be good. It's interesting, this week, if you asked me what I was preaching on today, this time last week, I'd have said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And what did Paul preach on last week? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when he started preaching, I thought to myself, ah, you pitched it. Well, then I quickly put myself in the right gear and said, God's on the move. Yeah? Which is good, isn't it? And I meet with Paul perhaps a couple of times a week. If you don't know me, I'm Martin, I'm one of the elders here, and we meet, we talk about loads of stuff, and with some of the other guys as well. And you probably won't like me saying this, because he's not this sort of guy. I have never seen him look so tight as on Monday night. Yeah, and loads of pressure and stuff going on. And he just went through some of the stuff, and it was just massive. And some of you know what's going on in terms of just new church and things. Really, really heavy stuff. And God told him to preach on the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow. And at that time, there was no real breakthrough happening. It was just very hard work. And God gave me the same passage. And I thought, there's something happening here. And those of you know Paul, no, Paul is the leader here. Paul, he's not into electronic media. So if you send him an email to get a reply, it's a marvellous thing. And for him to actually send an email, this is even more remarkable. And he sent an email this week. I won't go through all the details because he probably wants to share this when he's back. But he said this in the title. Hi, all. Just sent to a few people that he'd been talking about this problem. Well, I have some great news. ... It's good, isn't it? And when God moves, there's a sense of joy and refreshing and renewal which can't be replaced with anything else. Is that true? Yes. When God moves and God speaks into our situation, the joy that comes, the peace that comes, is beyond anything else we've ever experienced. And I've had it in my life when I feel absolutely distraught and God speaks in remarkably different ways, and I feel the presence of God, and the situation might not have changed in fact, although it often has, but remarkable other things happen. And I am so grateful for God moving. Amen. I am also, that's Paul to one side. This is a bit spiritual notices. Okay? Not that Mark's notices weren't spiritual before, but just a couple of things I want to pray for, really. So Paul's one of them. I want to pray for, we've got two young ladies who are on mission and different parts of the world, one involved in Indonesia with YWAM and Abby being involved in South Africa, and we just pray for these guys. You know, they're really putting themselves out on the front line, and God would want to see them prosper. So this is Abby, and she's in there, I think, somewhere. You see her? Oh, there she is. I had the right job spotting her this morning. Well done. It's like, it's a bit like Where's Wally, but not. No offence. So there she is. And these guys have got a good website. And you can go and have a look at, what's it called? Grace? Grace Place, yeah. So go and have a look. And it shows what they're doing. They've got day one, day two, day three, things that have been happening. And a lot of miracles. Yeah, a lot of people coming to the Lord. Some remarkable stuff happening. So We're going to pray for those guys. And we're going to pray for Resi as well. Resi's going for 3 months. This is her team. She's co-leading a team. And they're all smiling out there. It looks like an advert for a health clinic, really. But Yeah. I ought to have gone on that group. I'd have brought the average good-looking person down a few grades. But there we are. They're all looking great. And they're going for 3 months, is it? 3 months, Richard? Yeah. So we need to pray for them, and that God would encourage them, bless them. He would work mightily through them. And you know, Abby, we looked at Abby earlier on. She's, you know, been there a week. She's got another week to come. She's having some difficult times, isn't she? Some testing times she's coming up. So a lot of people pray for people when they go. It's good that we can pray for people halfway through as well. That would be really great. Another thing that was quite interesting, those of you here midweek, any of you come for our MP visit? Some of you are here. It's really interesting, actually, because she's really nice and really friendly and committed and all that. I really enjoyed it. But the interesting thing is I asked her what we could pray for. And she said she'd leave that to me. This is really interesting. So do you know what? We're going to pray for her because she's left it to me. And do you know, when she just said that, she said, I'll leave that to you, Martin. You're the expert on that. And I just thought, I'm not an expert at all. But actually, I think spiritually, you've opened a doorway by saying that. And so we're going to pray into her life. She's not a Christian. She's got a Jewish background. She's called Lucy Fraser. She's a really nice lady. And we can pray for her that God would work in her life. Yeah. So that would be good. We've also got Ariella here today, haven't we? Is she in up there? Yeah. So Ian and Kath, am I okay saying this? I should have asked you, shouldn't I? Yeah. Ian and Kath have adopted a little girl called Ariella. And she was here last week, I think. Yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to see, so this is Kath up here. Ian's around somewhere. And Ariella's been crushed. So that's really great news, isn't it? Yeah. So long wait. Just like being pregnant, really. Not that I know. But so we can pray for her. So pray for Ariella. She comes as this new family. We're going to pray for Paul. Pray for Abby. Pray for Resi. Pray for our MP, Lucy Fraser. Is that for you? Now, this is the difficult bit. God gave me the passage of Moses coming and meeting the burning bush. And it's not difficult at all, but God says to Moses to do something, doesn't he? Yeah. So he draws near in fascination at this bush. And God says to him something interesting. What does he say? Take off your sandals. Yeah. Which he does. And that passage won't leave me. And I mentioned it to one of the other elders. And he went, oh, remarkable. This stuff's been happening with me about that. This morning at the prayer meeting, it came up. I'm just reluctant to have you all take your shoes off, but I'm not reluctant to do what God wants. Is that okay? So if you can take your shoes off, and we're going to stand, we're going to pray. Is that okay? I'm not going to do this every week. It's a bit kind of bizarre. People in the Bible were asked to do even more bizarre things than this. Much more bizarre. I just want to be obedient to what I think God's prompted me to do. So, some of you might not be able to do it. You have to have medication, stuff on your feet, whatever. I don't know. So we're going to pray in tongues to start with. And some of you just pray out as well, because the Bible says if you don't want to pray, pray in tongues, and the Spirit will intercede. Yeah. So those that have got the gift, if you haven't got the gift, ask God for it. We're just going to pray in tongues for a while, and then we'll pray out all together. Yeah. Kanda the Ramundo, Kianda the Raf, Sanda the Romundo, Kishanda the Ramatishanda, Kanda the Rabutum, Kenti, Shienda the Tamata. Sanda the Ramumu, Kushianda the Ramunda, Kada Ramunda, Tunda, the Ramunda, Kanda the Ramunda, Kanda the Ramunda. Lord, I pray for our leader, Paul. We pray you would bless him, encourage him, strengthen him, give him joy in his labor. And Lord, every endeavor that he seeks to do with your power, that you would open a way, you would part difficulties, you would provide financially, you would provide materially, and that, Lord, you would lift heavy burdens. And Lord, we will pray you would bless him and his entire family in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our MP. And Lord, thank you for coming here. And Lord, we pray, Lord, your blessing on her. Lord, we pray you will bless her and protect her. Lord, I pray you would have inspired her and done something while she was here. And Lord, we pray that she would have an encounter, living encounter with you, that you would bless and draw near her. And she would know you, Lord Jesus, that you've known every day of her life. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I want to thank you that she has a Jewish background that she might not realize at this time the significance of that. But Lord, I just pray that by the things that she picked up from here Thursday, different things that were sung or said or prayed, Lord, that you will begin to draw her to that realization. She might be a bit wealthy Christian because of her background, but Lord, ask that you will draw her to yourself, that she will realize that actually we're all joined together. We are one with the Jewish people. We are grafted in to them because they gave us not only the scriptures, but they gave us Jesus. And Father, I pray that she will realize that, and the awakening of her spirit will bring to her, Lord, that joy and that love that you've given to us.
Father God, you brought to mind a plaque that I have at home, and prayer changes people. And we pray, Father God, through this prayer today, that you will change this young woman's life, that you will touch her life, and that there will be a spiritual awakening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I pray for Abby and Resi, Lord, serving you. Lord Jesus, I pray you would use them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that the heavens would be shaken as they trust you in remarkable ways, when all ways look impossible, but you would bring miracles, and you would bring healing, and you would bring deliverance. Lord, I pray you would lift their head when they're bowed down. Lord, you would encourage them and draw beside them. You would give them good friends who are encouraging to them. Lord, you would protect them from the foulest snare and bring glory to your name. Amen. Lord, thank you for Ariella coming, and we'll pray for her later on another time maybe, but Lord, thank you for that addition to our family. And Lord, every time somebody's adopted here, it just feels like it's symbolic of our acceptance before you. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Just as we're praying, I'll just read this out to you. This is from Martha and Judy. I got this morning. And just hold this before you in prayers. I'm reading it through. Hi, Martin. We're going to send you a video soon, but we're doing some building work. It's coming on really well, and it's going to be used for housing. More people involved in mission here. We've had some rain, enough to start planting, but only to wet the top of the soil. The rain has brought army worms to eat the emerging plants and new grasses, but we hope to be able to control these via insecticide and other means. Food is now very short, with many families only eating once a day. We are helping those most in need by selling maize and rice and beans to others at affordable prices. Obviously, we can only help those around us in our community. It is really making a difference to the people who are really asking questions. Why are these people so different? It is hard work, but it's very rewarding. Judy's coming back in May, which is great news, and she'll be able to tell you more then. So, Father God, we pray that, Lord, you would pour great rains. Lord, there'd not just be enough to wet the surface, but, Lord, there'd be enough to soak through the soil and replenish wells and to replenish springs. Would you come and would you flood through that land of Kenya? And, Lord, would you pour out abundance on that place? Lord, we pray for against every pestilence and disease that would seek to multiply itself, that, Lord, you will protect those people and provide them with prosperity, and you would feed their families. And Lord, for Martin and Judy, that you would equip them with wisdom, supernatural insight, and that, Lord, they would prosper in your great care. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. A bit different. This is, I pick up on, Paul mentioned the joy of the Lord is your strength, and it's from Nehemiah. And it's also found in Psalms, actually, a little bit similar sort of phrasing, but this is Nehemiah. And it's Nehemiah 8, and I'm just going to pick up some of this stuff. So, and it's really, really interesting. It's got some parallels for where we are as a church, I think, really. 8:1, it says, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which is made up of men and women, all who were able to understand. And he read it aloud from daybreak till noon. If you think we've got a long service, that's nothing. So daybreak till noon, they're reading the law. And he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men and the women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Great. Beside him, on the right stood, there's a long list of other people. Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing there above them. And he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen, amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, again, there's another big list of people, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest, the teachers of the law and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they were listening to the words of the law. All the people were weeping. The reality is they were a long way from God in lots of senses. So they'd been restored to this land. Only some of them had come back, actually, and most of them had stayed where they were in captivity, and they'd got freedom and they just sort of stayed where they were. Some had journeyed back to this land, and they'd intermarried, they'd lost lots of the language, they'd lost lots of the customs. And as the law is read to them, they realize they're a long way short of where they should be. Yeah, they're a long way short. And many of them are weeping as they listen to the words of the Lord. They're mourning, they're repenting, they're weeping. They're listening, they're a long way short. And it's really interesting what happens now, because you could imagine this scenario really. They've finished the building of the walls. They're reading the law. People are in a bit of a state, and God's got more to do actually, if you read the rest of the book. More stuff's going to happen. But Nehemiah said this. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those send some to those who have nothing prepared. This is a holy day to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. And all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been known to them. It's the most interesting book, I think. Because on one hand, they hear God's word and they are absolutely cut to bits and crying. Yeah. And then Nehemiah says to them, don't do that. Be joyful. And suddenly they have a huge party. I don't know if I can turn on and off like that. Anybody in that position? No? It's interesting, this morning at the prayer meeting, we had a prayer meeting before church starts, you're very welcome to come, and you can look at a situation in the world, or a situation in this nation, and weep and mourn, and there are times for that, aren't they? But there are also times to celebrate and to praise and to fill with joy that we have a God who has overcome, who's on the move, who's triumphant, and whose Easter is just around the corner. Amen? And I wonder, when Paul was preaching last week on the joy of the Lord is my strength, or your strength, in the midst of difficulty, preaching in faith that God would move, and that joy of the Lord would be his strength. Wow. I think sometimes when I'm mourning, the focus is on me. When I'm rejoicing in God, the focus is on him, and it changes things. There are times when it needs to be on me to say, God, I've done this, it's wrong, will you help me? I'm so sorry. But I also need to say, God, you are greater, you are stronger, you love me, you care for me, you have overcome. So the people went out and they brought back some branches and built themselves temporary shelters. You might know a little bit about this. On the roofs and in their courtyards, in the courts of the houses of God and the squares by the water gate, and then one from the gate of Ephraim. And the whole company had returned from exile, built temporary shelters and lived in them for the days of Joshua son of Nun until the day that Israel had not celebrated it like this. And there was their joy was very great. And so there's fantastic celebrations that actually there is some problems, but the greater joy is that God has brought them this far. He has delivered. He is faithful. Amen. It's so easy, I think, to look at the problems and look down and not look up to the hills. Where is my help from? Yeah, Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. And they're reading the law, and these things must have really struck them. I wonder if they remember the prophecy of Jeremiah during these times. Jeremiah said this, midst of when Jeremiah was being mocked and given a hard time and dragged off, and Jeremiah prophesied this, "See, I will bring them from a land of the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. Among them will be the blind and the lame, expectant mothers and women in labor. A great throng will return. They will come with weeping. They will pray as I bring them back. And I will lead them beside streams of water on a level path where they will not stumble, because I am Israel's father and Ephraim is my firstborn son. Restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declares the Lord. They will return from the land of their enemies. So there is hope for your descendants, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land." Wow. Wow. I wonder how many people have prayed, and many of you prayed, that we would see a new church built in Iceland. And then when we go in there, you look at what God's done. And you think, God, you've brought us this far. You've brought us this far. And one of the things I get when I go to a new church is a sense of awe and majesty and joy about what God's done. Amen? Flabbergasts me, really. So I think there's so much that God has done for us. And joy comes into our life. It might be a fruit. God talks about the joy being a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a reaction to what God's done, but it's also here a choice. I choose to focus on God and about what he's done and about what he will do. And we often think about the story with Moses. I referred to it with the shoes situation earlier on, and how interesting it is that that Moses was asked to take his shoes off, and what that's about and what that meant and all those things. And I often find it interesting, if I put my mind into the people still in captive in Egypt. Here's Moses, and in lots of ways, here he is in the desert, and he's his father-in-law is a priest in Midian, and he's married into this relationship, and he's wondering what he's done really, and he's shepherding probably on his own with these sheep in the wilderness. He had a remarkable birth in lots of senses, and he was brought up in Egypt, and he became highly ranked in Egypt, and he got himself into a situation where he started to wonder what was happening with these people. He ended up killing a man. He ended up fleeing from Egypt. And here he is in the desert years later, slowly losing his ability to speak, it would appear. But God hasn't finished with him at all. And God calls to Moses in the desert, and God says this. He said, "He has heard the groanings and remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob." So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned for them. And then it says this, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And God called him." God spoke to him. "Take off your sandals, for this place you're standing on is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. But then he goes off to the Israelite elders in Egypt. And I don't know what I'd be like if I was an Israelite elder, because you've been there for a long time. The work seems to get harder and go on and on. You came into a land that gave you protection and you prospered in the land, and the work seems to get harder and harder. I wonder if there was much joy in the people of Israel in Egypt. And then Moses comes to them, fairly modestly, as he arrives, and he gives a message which is essentially, "God has heard you. I have come to be part of God's rescue plan. God has a plan. I will be with you." And in our lives, I think, for many of us going through difficulties, to know that God has heard you, God has heard you, is a fantastic medicine to gloominess. God has heard you. "I have come to rescue you, and I have a plan. God will rescue them and bring them back." He brought joy to the people in terms of rebuilding those walls that Nehemiah talked about. He said, "Don't weep, rejoice." And it turned their whole activity and their whole celebration when they chose to rejoice. And everything turned around, because in God's word they could pick up their sinful nature. But he said, "No, rejoice. You are a favored people. God is protecting you. He has a future for you. He will prosper you. There is assurance for your children." But it was so easy for them to look the other way and see how much they'd fallen. And I wonder if the elders in Egypt, as they worried and fretted, and Moses turned up and said, "God has appeared to me. He has heard your calls. He will bring you back to a land. He has heard you. He will respond." And the passage says that they fell to the ground and worshipped God. In my life and in your life, we need God's presence and his word to bring revelation. I'm so glad that Paul preached on that word in the midst of difficulty. I then get an email a couple of days later that says, all is well. I have some great news. And where do we go with this stuff? Around this time in the Gospel of John, John records that Jesus met his disciples and took a bowl and took a towel and started to wash their feet. And Peter objected, of course, and said, oh, you can't do that. This is the job of a servant. You know, I just feel really embarrassed. And Jesus said, no. Unless I do this, you can have no part of me. And then took wine and took bread and prepared himself, but then said, I will drink this again with you, my kingdom. I will drink this again with you at the wedding feast of the Lamb, when all sickness will flee, all illness, all doubt will disappear, and joy will fill heaven. This is a prayer from Romans. It says this, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that good? I'll read it again. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I could write this Martin Wells's version a bit sometimes. This is my experience sometimes. May the God of hope allow you to persevere with gritted teeth as you trust in him. You may overflow with uncertainty. But he doesn't say that, thankfully. And occasionally this, in my walk with God and in your walk with God, this is true. But I'd like it to be more true. May the God of hope, how much is he going to put in you? Fill you. With joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may what? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So if actually we're in front of God, like the people that Nehemiah faced, when they heard God's word, they were filled with guilt. And sometimes there's a time for that. But actually among us, there are people that are often like that. And God says, choose to rejoice. And there are people like Moses who would be picked up and transported back to the place he probably least wanted to go back to speak to a bunch of elders that have been crying out for years for salvation, to bring them hope and joy. I want us to be ambassadors of hope and joy. In my life, Paul's prayer for the Romans, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you renew our hope in you? Amen. Amen. We're going to stand up. We've got a psalm here. We're going to read this together. This is Psalm 16:5. Can you about see that? Read together. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in present places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will, the Lord counsels me. Even at night, my heart will instruct me. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You will make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Hallelujah.
Father God, as we wait in your presence, we thank you that you took our dirty feet and washed them. But as we approach Easter, you call us to lift our heads and to joyfully celebrate that we have a risen Saviour who will give us peace and joy as we wait in hope, as we seek to serve you and give you our best in this life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.